The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Taking on the Twins at Minute Maid Park tonight. Romel Blanco on the hill for Houston. Looked pretty good his first start back post-suspension for stickiest stuff ever felt on a glove by that rando umpire. Joe, you got to turn your mic on, bro.
Ever.
You've become a diva host. Who would have thought? Joe does not like that. He does not like that.
That's my bad.
You're totally fine. I like making fun of hosts who don't turn on their microphone.
I always turn on my own microphone.
I know. This is the first day that you haven't.
Yeah.
I had a couple
times.
You
still always turn on your microphone.
I didn't sleep much last night.
You didn't sleep much? Why not?
Here it comes.
Just a little brat wouldn't sleep.
You know, the Shorecrest Preparatory Chargers weight room had a saying in the weight room, and it said, excuses, hint of a reason, stuffed with a lie.
Yeah? Is that what it said? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, you're not turning on your microphone. It's because you're tired? Because you're tight?
A little bit.
Okay, fair enough.
Coffee not strong enough today? Maybe.
Well, hey, listen, at least you have an excuse, because the Astros don't when it comes to Jose Abreu.
I mean, they have an excuse. They just don't want to do anything.
The big story today, in my opinion, about Jose Abreu, is that a highlight of Joey Loperfido's defense with the Sugarland Space Cowboys was scrubbed from the internet. And why else would it get scrubbed other than to protect Jose Abreu? 409 Josh texted in, player morale is going to tank when they continue to see the decision makers not putting the team in the best situation to win because the decision makers are more loyal to their own pride than winning.
Yes.
Ugh.
But... and you have to believe that there's enough leadership on this team that they can find a way to circumvent this a little bit.
Some people seem to be, specifically pointing at Joe Espada, making decisions that indicate that, hey, we're going to play the best players as much as we can. And maybe yesterday was a one-time thing based off of matchups with Caratini in for Diaz, with Dubon in for McCormick. But it is a very, very obvious decision to put Jose Abreu back in, and then when he struggles to the extent that he did at the plate yesterday, and you're not even pinch hitting for him in a game that was still close, even if the Mariners weren't capable of scoring four runs. I mean, it's like the one decision that it seems like the guys who are supposed to have decision-making power don't have decision-making power over.
Yeah, because it's just clear. It's unclear with the organization just who's in charge about anything. I think that's what's the most confusing part of all the Abreu or off-season acquisitions that they've made. Is like, I know there's this committee, but I still believe that Dana Brown and Joe Espada have some kind of voice in this, right? Because it was Joe Espada and Dana Brown who had to call Ryan Pressly and tell him that they were bringing in Josh Hader. You know, it's the Astros organization that has to make the decision of when they're moving on from Martin Maldonado. Like, who's making that call to move on from Maldi? I don't know. It's I don't think Jim Crane would care about that. So maybe it's like they pick and choose when they're involved in stuff. Like I heard Jeremy ranting and raving in a good way about this the other day about the Jeff Bagwell analytics stuff that happened after I guess it was after Dusty left. Or I don't even remember the timeline.
When Jeff Bagwell started talking about Manalytics, essentially.
Yeah, how they've gone too analytical.
It was post-James Click.
Post-James Click, yeah. And it turned into this whole debacle where, like, Jeff Bagwell said that they're too analytical in a one-on-one interview, in which he wasn't in having a press conference. Like, just to go back in time, this is when Jeff Bagwell would just, like, randomly appear. Like, he was Beetlejuice. There was a Jim Crane press conference, and then all of a sudden you see Mark Berman just like scurrying along the side of the room and, oh, there's Jeff Bagwell. And Jeff Bagwell would just start speaking to the media and he started being out of pocket with things, which like he said, they're being overly analytical. They've gone too far. So all the reasons that they were good, they went too far with, right? It's just, the whole thing is bizarre.
And that's probably why Jeremy made the Jack Easterby comparison with Jeff Bagwell. And I guess the difference is with Jack Easterby. Easterby is someone who forged his resume and somehow, some way, by being a very good talker, talked his way up the top of several organizations into key positions. And in some ways, I feel like may have used religion to do so. With Jeff Bagwell, it just feels like an absolute rejection of modern baseball. His belief that more teams needed to do that. It's kind of funny because it's a lot like a lot of people who are maybe casual baseball watchers now who are watching it from time to time but are up there in age. We're like, this is all stupid. Well, yeah. It's how the game's played now.
You have examples of him being like, I don't care about exit velocity. I just want Jose Abreu to hit the ball harder.
See,
and it's like, that's literally what exit velocity is, dude. I don't know what else to say to Jeff Bagwell other than that you just described what exit velocity is.
The truth about Jeff Bagwell analytics is that he doesn't care and he doesn't understand. Is that he doesn't, like what you're saying, but there's also been examples on recent television broadcasts where TK and them are trying to, and I've heard Robert Ford do it as well, where like, they say something, and then they try to explain it to him. It's like talking to my three-year-old, where it's like he just doesn't understand. Like he just doesn't – it doesn't get it.
There's no intellectual curiosity.
And he doesn't – he just doesn't care. He thinks that because he played baseball a certain way, that that's the way baseball should be played. And he has taken zero opportunity, zero time to learn what's going on with analytics and why it can be a positive. He just thinks it's wrong.
It's a shame how success lends itself to people being less open-minded. It's a natural byproduct in so many different areas, but success generally makes somebody super confident in themselves. And if somebody is offering another way to do things, you're going to think you know how to do it. But what's interesting for a guy like Jim Crane, who leaves the business world to own a baseball team and then all of a sudden sees this organization become what it does, you're going to feel a lot better about the decisions you're making because you are ultimately the one that is signing the checks.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you bring in a guy that is a Hall of Fame baseball player who was extremely good at his craft, who also thinks that he knows baseball and does.
I mean, he does, but it spits in the face of like what made you good.
Exactly. And look, I mean, it's not like Moneyball is just a two rinky dink team operation like it was with the A's at first and Rays. Eventually, they've kind of taken over for the A's on that front. Every single team in baseball has incorporated just data into analysis, and everyone should. And that's what analytics is. It's hey, we use data, which is hilarious that it's pushed back on as much as it is. It's not a religion.
No, and especially when the people are so successful at it. Like I would look at Theo with what he did with Boston, and then Chicago, and then what Jeff Luhnow did here, and just say like, there are certain people who they understand and they use numbers in a certain way that are so different. Like I find the analytics stuff with Jeff Bagwell hilarious. That like if this team won a World Series, was about to win it, like just won another World Series, and then his response was we've gone too far. Like, meanwhile, the guy who built this organization into everything it was, like, is literally just, like, taking his nerd numbers to Mexico and winning championships.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Jeff Luno's doing right
now. Totally different sport.
And totally different sport. It has nothing to do with it. Like, he's just using his nerdness to win championships.
It literally, I mean, we talked about intellectual curiosity. Like, Jeff Luno's intellectual curiosity took him to, well, let's try to figure out some analytics to win at soccer now. And I already won at baseball. Let's try yeah. soccer. And, like, that's, again, so, literally the opposite.
And the worst part about all of this, to bring us back to Jose Abreu, unfortunately, is that their irrational defense as an organization of Abreu, just this over-defensiveness for a kid who is not doing what needs to be done, it lends itself to you just wondering why they're so stubborn here. This is a very bizarre hill to die on, mm-hmm. of all the hills to die on. Maybe Jeff Bagwell doesn't want to embrace these new ideas, and which is unfortunate, seeing as he seems to have his fingerprints all over a lot of decisions that they've made of late. But the funny thing is, it's like, but why here
yeah.
with the guy who's batting .095? Are you thinking to yourself, this is where I draw the line? It's Jon Snow going up against the Boltons by himself like a total idiot.
I do think that they're a little – okay, I think Jeff Bagwell led you to the problem. Jeff Bagwell, like, gave you the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And Jose Abreu, I think it's Jim Crane who won't get rid of it. I do think there's a reason why Baggy was the guy in Florida with Abreu. It's my opinion. I have nothing to go off of this, but, like, it's Jim Crane saying, "Hey, dude, you told me to pay this guy, and he sucks. So he's your problem. You go to Florida. You fix him." Like, the reason why Abreu's still on this team, I think, is because Jim Crane's too cheap in this moment to hand out one blank check.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like, it's Bagwell that caused the problem. It's Jim Crane who's unwilling to fix it.
I wonder if Crane's saying, "Hey, Bagwell, you fix this too." I mean, there's a part of me that feels that perhaps Crane is going to look at Bagwell with a deference, Reggie Jackson as well, with a mm-hmm. deference that he's not ever going to do with Dana Brown or Joe Espada or Dusty Baker before or AJ Hinch before. And James I understand Click. Why. Hall of Fame baseball player, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, James Click, another guy who.
Yeah.
They
clearly had no respect for him.
Yeah, they're just like, "Yeah, cool. Thanks. Thanks for the World Series. Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll do it our way now." I mean, we had fun with the idea of, yeah, the jocks are taking over now. And it's like what they actually did when we were having all the jokes about, yep, it's Jim Crane, it's Jeff Bagwell, and they're shoving all the nerds in a locker and they're signing dudes. It's like, actually, those signings have kind of blown up in the Astros' face.
Mm-hmm.
Although Montero, not terrible, but not worth this contract.
Well, yeah, Montero's contract is going to be very good 1 year and awful probably the other 2 years. The first year was awful. This year is pretty good. I'm going to just bet on like a 4-5 plus ERA in 2025.
I want you to know, Joe, that I'm looking at you with disdain for having said that, because the real ones, they know who the real Rafael Montero is. The people in Houston that were laughing at the fact that he was traded to the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
We know. I get it. He had a good postseason. Neato. Mm-hmm. I had a good senior year of my high school football season.
Were
my other years good?
Well.
No. They weren't.
Rafael Montero, he timed it perfectly, though.
I didn't get paid.
To get paid and to win a championship.
He did. He very
much did.
If you're
going to have an outlier year, make sure you get the ring.
Credit to him. He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. We're going to keep this conversation going. And listen, while Jeff Bagwell may be irrational in his defense of Jose Abreu and the Astros as an organization are, I am more irrational in my defense of this man who was slandered by a man-child who would kick my ass. Gallant and George, stick around.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Astros beat the Mariners yesterday afternoon. 1-0 on the young season that
Let's go.
Hit the reset button on several times, like somebody who's terrible at playing Madden.
Where are we at here? We're
insert any video game. Yeah.
Four resets?
We might need to put up a day since last season reset, Joe, Sean,
well,
here in studio.
We made it like a month.
I would like to have a discussion about this.
Okay.
You got one more.
I think we said this last time.
I don't know if we said it last time.
I think we said one more the last time.
Probably, okay. But I think we get...
For real this time?
For reals, for reals. Dead ass, we get one more.
One more, okay.
One more.
On God.
Five and a half on back God. On June 1st, or I guess May 31st.
I'm thinking like when like your last hope is like when they announce Garcia and McCullers are coming back. It's like, hey,
okay.
He's fully healthy.
Yes,
here we go.
That's their trade deadline. Yeah. Is adding Garcia,
or maybe the All Star break.
The stretch ahead, they're playing teams on the same level as them. We cannot say that these are easy games anymore. So I will do a compromise there.
Okay,
but I will also say that all these teams that you're about to play outside of the Angels and White Sox, starting with the Twins, I mean. They're looking at you as a wounded predator, and you want to take them down as a trophy for your room. Get it all taxidermized. They're looking at you like, not Steve Irwin, like a poacher version of Steve Irwin. Oi, look at them Astros over there. They got Jose Abreu. It's like they got a limp leg or something.
They can look at us like Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
The Astros will be the Steve Ray.
Ooh. Oh. That's not... Cool, dude. Too soon.
But the
it's been like a decade.
You did bring up a good point. Like they play the Twins, who have 31 wins. The Astros have 25. Cardinals have 27 wins. The Astros have 25. That they're just on the same level.
They're all about 500. Yeah. I think the Giants are about 500.
29 wins. Like the
Tigers, surprisingly.
Tigers 28 wins. So yeah, they're playing teams on their level, and then the White
and then
Sox
the Orioles.
And Or White Sox and Angels sprinkled in there.
They're sprinkled in there, but then it's the Orioles.
The end of June, yeah. They have the Orioles. Oh, Rockies, this time in America.
Hey.
And then the Mets.
I would like to see them back at 500 for the series against the Orioles. That's all I'm asking for.
At 500?
At 500. Which is
three weeks
from now.
Yeah.
Fair ask?
Yeah, seven games. They're seven games under right now.
Okay. Sean says yes. What do you say, Joe?
I kind of want to like greedily ask for it to happen quicker.
So I'll say yes, fair ask. Okay. We all want it to happen.
I won't be too greedy. Right
yeah, they, I mean, they would have to go on a seven-game win streak for it to be by next week.
Oh, gosh, that's a depressing reminder, as is the fact that the Astros are so steadfast in their defense of Jose Abreu to the point where a Joey Loperfido defensive highlight got deleted. So it has me thinking about other people that we irrationally defend. Anyone who has listened to me here in town knows that I have a, honestly, creepy obsession with my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, I think I upset you a lot earlier.
Seven-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady. Yes, Joe was saying that to make Paul upset, all you have to do is say something bad about Tom Brady. And we were talking about the Boston Celtics, and he said something bad about Tom Brady. And Joe even said he was going to root for my Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. And I don't want him to anymore because he said something about
Tom
Brady.
No, I was educating Sean. I was helping Sean.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm with you.
Sure.
Stand with Paul.
That was a sarcastic stand with Paul. You held the fist.
The fist up was...
If you hadn't put up the fist, I would have believed you. But again, noted. I'm just writing these things down as you guys continue to... let's be honest, bully me because my parents had sex in the Massachusetts area. It's not my fault. It's not my fault where I was born. Among greatness in sports. Anyway, look, Tom Brady.
Is that where Tom Brady was born?
Tom Brady was not born. Tom Brady descended from the heavens. Tom Brady had a roast done at his expense on Netflix. A lot of people have seen it. If you haven't, it actually is pretty funny, though it is long. I guess there are some things that are coming to light about this roast that we'll get to in a little bit, but I heard something from someone who is in the world of sports about Tom Brady, and it made my blood boil. The kind of just absolute filth said about him would make me probably get up, say something stupid, and then be summarily killed with a judo chop to the neck by this guy. MMA's Sean Strickland had this to say about Tom Brady.
Did you catch the Tom Brady roast? And would you ever want the UFC to do something
like that? Oh, man, Tom Brady was a bro. What? He got mad. Don't talk about my wife like that. Listen, you you sign up to be made fun of. You can't handle it. Don't fucking do it. Me, I don't know if I can handle it. I might be. Hey, you shut the fuck up. But yeah, nah, dude. He handled that like a fucking woman, dude. You act like a fucking girl and you pet fucking goats and you post gay fucking photos. You're like, take man the fuck up. No one thinks you're tough, Tom Brady. You're making fun of a fucking comedian. You.
I mean, I think Tom Brady's tough.
Oh my gosh, what an angry man.
He swears the way that I swore in fourth grade. What? Where I was trying to be cool.
You swore in fourth grade?
I swore a lot in fourth grade. Thought it was cool. I started watching South Park around fourth grade.
Okay.
The ultimate problem is when you continue to do that as an adult, it's not great. This is something I'm sensitive about because I swear way too much when I'm off the air. I do. I need to work on that.
It's okay.
But
I've now officially heard worse.
You know what I hate is that I agree with some of what Sean Strickland said here, and yet I still feel the need to irrationally defend Tom Brady.
Mm. Okay. Still?
You can't say Tom Brady's not tough. I mean, it takes balls to... I get that it's a look-at-me party when you're having a roast of yourself.
Yeah.
I made fun of somebody else in my personal life who recently, here in town, had a roast of himself. I thought it was the most cringe thing ever. Dead ass. For real. But I think it takes some chutzpah to get up there and take the shots that he took.
Yeah. I agree with that. I understand also why there are certain things you'd want off limits. Your kids, the way you kiss them openly on the mouth, kind of weird. Don't want to talk about that? Fine. But to go in and then the divorce stuff, then you can't have it.
He seemingly wanted some things to be off limits. And I don't know how many people know about Tony Hinchcliffe, but Tony Hinchcliffe was the star of the roast. Tony Hinchcliffe does a show called Kill Tony. It's on YouTube. I think it's based in Austin, mm-hmm. where basically people go up and do stand-up for 1 minute, and Hinchcliffe generally roasts them if they're bad at the very end. And very often, they are bad. Hinchcliffe stole the show. Nikki Glaser was also very good, but Hinchcliffe was brutal in his roasts and had this to say on a podcast with, I believe, it's Bert Kreischer and
Tom Segura
about something that went down that no one talked about on the same level that they talked about Tom Brady whispering something in Jeff Ross's ear.
Then you talk about, like, especially a risk at the top of the set. It's live. Anything could go wrong. And when I said my opening line, that when I did that turn from Dana and I go, nice shoes, and making sure I'm not falling up the stairs. Did you win those in the divorce? He goes, and I don't think anybody noticed this. He goes, yeah, I'll shove one of these right up your fucking ass. Because he was not, he didn't know who.
Is that what he said?
He must not have remembered who the fuck I am or whatever. Oh, he said it in the moment.
I'm kind of surprised that that happened as well. And no one's really made a big deal about that to the point where I saw it. And again, like, I want to irrationally defend Tom Brady the way the Astros are irrationally defending Jose Abreu, but it's hard to hear.
It's hard to figure out, like, what's next for these, because Nikki Glaser has also kind of backtracked it about, like, wanting to be on it. I mean, Kim Kardashian's still doing her nonsense and, like, crying about getting booed.
She actually didn't cry publicly, but someone believed that Kris Jenner had the boos edited out of the Netflix special.
100%. It does seem like in this instance, I think there should be he's at the table, right? Like, when you watch the roast, they only had certain people up on stage. And there were people at the tables who were supposed to be less important, do a quick roast, 30 seconds, that's it. Tony, the way he talks about it, he basically was like, man, I'm a star, because he's got, you know, full of himself. So he walks up on stage.
He's got an ego.
Yeah. And, like,
he's good.
Because the other person who talks like Tony about this moment where they're at the table, but they're too good to only be at the table, was Dana White. Whereas, like, you made me fly out here. I'm not going to be only at the table. I'm going up there to, like, actually roast some people. I don't think Tom knew who he was. And that's tough. That's tough. Where if you don't know someone and they're going to start taking shots at your divorce And when I say you don't know someone, like you literally don't know who they are, because while we know who Kill Tony is, I don't think Tom Brady does.
That's fair, but at the same time, he had to have known that this comedian was going to be on.
And that's true.
It's his roast. I don't know how in charge of the entire production he was. Maybe Jeff Ross was the one who organized the entire thing. And for those who don't know, Jeff Ross has organized a ton of celebrity roasts over the years. But whatever the case, I mean, if you're up there, I am a big believer that roasts, as far as free speech goes, it is what makes our country great. These are all supposed to be in bounds.
If you're going to do it, then everything has to be in bounds. Like, if we ever do one with John and Lance, which, like, I want to, like, the only way we do it is if we agree and they agree that everything is in bounds. If we can talk about breaking non-compete clauses and going to court to get from 610 to here to 1560, like everything that they talk about, like if we can't relentlessly roast Lance for leaving bloody tissues and napkins and coughing on the air when he has a cough button, then like what are we doing? So like if you agree to do it, you have to be willing to take the punches.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's part of the rules.
All punches.
Yes.
And I really don't think he knew what he was getting himself into when he did this. Hey, for what it's worth, it was a successful event, but I mean, I think some members of his family are probably pissed at him. Giselle's definitely pissed at him, and he seems to be pissed off with the way that it went. So while Sean Strickland is definitely talking like I would have in fourth grade, having learned a couple of swears by sneak watching South Park after downloading it off of Kazaa Light and watching it on VHS at my friend Mike Mativier's house, I feel like for the most part, Brady's in the wrong here.
I very much agree.
And I hate it. I want to rationally defend him. And if I can admit that about Tom Brady, why can't the Houston Astros do that with Jose Abreu? Damn, I am good at this.
Because you don't pay Tom Brady $40 million.
That's true.
You don't have to cut a check.
You don't got to cut a check.
Because you're bummed out by how he has handled the roast.
I would go on a jihad for Tom Brady. I would. I'd go on a holy war for him.
Would you buy...
He's my Lee Sun Ah-Gaib. I just watched Dune 2 again. I would do it.
I'm going to watch it back to back.
He's the one. It is good, dude.
I think I'm going to watch 1 and 2 back to back this weekend, I think.
The hand things.
Did you do the TB12 method for Tom?
I have two TB12 method books.
Shocker.
One of them I was actually given to by somebody I was dating at the time. I saw it on her coffee table. I was like, can I have this? That was the last time I ever saw her. So like a nice little, it's like my Derek Jeter gift basket.
I'm leaving here with something.
Yeah. Did you eat avocado ice cream for Tom Brady?
No.
Why not?
No. But I would go into Holy War.
You're going Holy War.
Actually, you know what? Screw it. I would try it because I'm allergic to ice cream. I love ice cream.
Would you give up tomatoes?
No, I wouldn't do that. That's too far. I love tomatoes.
See, I don't think you love Tom Brady as much as you say you love Tom Brady.
Well,
I mean,
I'm going to jihad on you.
Tom Brady is saying this is the way, and you spit in his face.
Well, I mean, he seems to have abandoned the TB12 method, to be perfectly honest.
Good point.
It's kind of like Saul became Paul, if we want to make a Bible reference. Joe George, Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mays behind the glass. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Okay, you want to talk about the Astros before this weekend series with the Twins? You can. We've been focusing a lot on Jose Abreu. I do feel like I'm bringing the vibes down a little bit, so I'm going to give you another deep steel blue pill. The Houston Texans, baby. The offense, limitless. That's what they're at least telling you. You find out why next.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros and Twins tonight, Ronel Blanco on the hill. 1-0 since we pressed the reset button for the second to last time. We might have to have at some point next week to fill out a bingo card.
Ooh.
To see if we check the same things that we consistently go to when talking about the Astros. Reset button has happened a lot. Not every show. It does feel like, though, generally every show, at some point, we're going to say at least once, Joe, Jose Abreu's name. Jeff Bagwell's name.
Alex Bregman pop-ups?
Maybe not, because he's... on a 3-game hitting streak, 2 home runs against the Seattle Mariners pitching, triple-two.
We got to fill out a whole bingo card.
It would just be Bregman's struggles, I imagine.
Yeah. And so we'll find
Joey Loperfido.
Hey, we'll do some good things.
Mauricio Dubon.
Kyle Tucker, home run leader, like could be on there.
Yeah.
Because that one gets checked.
You didn't do so well in this series.
Jake Myers.
He did not.
Jake Myers.
Yeah. Jake from Rake Farm could be on there.
Victor Caratini, just the catching position.
Caratini Martini.
Yeah. Let me do some specific stuff.
Just Fromm nicknames.
Fromber antics.
Fromber meltdown.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, antics, because they can be good or bad.
Yeah. Like, I think we could start. We could do one that's, like, specific to this year. But I think next year, maybe we do, like, a bingo card for the season. Like, things that we just expect to happen.
Storylines.
Yeah. Like, Fromber, big time meltdown. And be able to check that off probably a couple weeks into the season. Fire Joe Espada text will be the free space because that'll happen so fast.
Oh, yeah. There needs to be like a Dana Brown one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Back of the baseball card would be on the bingo space for next year.
That has to be there.
I mean, that'd be like.
I think, though, that they are self-aware enough to realize that saying that is stupid. I'm sure that the very sensitive rabbit ears, Astros, PR people, Joe, have noticed that. People are calling them out for saying the same things over and over again.
I would think so. I would imagine. But even then, the back of the baseball card got tired last year. Everyone knew that. And they still ran out this year.
Just the first time someone goes, you know, Jose Altuve starts next year 2-for-9. They're going, back of the baseball card. He'll get together.
I hope that they shuffle it a little bit. Listen, if you're paid to do PR... Mm-hmm. You can't do the same thing every single day. But Astros bingo card might be indicating that we ourselves are guilty of this from time to time.
Well, I mean, it's really their fault, Paul.
I agree.
It's not our fault.
That's right, Joe. It's never our fault.
Yeah, like we're just discussing what they do.
Exactly. And sometimes it brings the vibes down.
Hey,
so guess what?
I'll bring them up.
Bring it up.
Thanks to Astros PR.
Thank you for giving us.
Astros PR sent this email to us.
Paul, oh, they did.
To everyone. It says pitching. Since May 22nd, the Astros have combined for a 2.07 ERA over 8 games with 80 strikeouts while posting a 185 opponent's average. Additionally, Astros starters have posted a 2.2 ERA in that span with a 191 opponent's average.
Was this email sent out with the subject Astros pitching?
No, it said Astros game notes.
Gotcha. Okay. But hey, you know what? If the Astros had actually won most of their games on this road trip, we could have said that the season reset on May 22nd or have gone further back and to say that it had reset when they had the 6-game winning streak. Alas, earwax, as old Albie Dumbledore would say. So look, we're going to bring the vibes back up. Baby Joe tried to right there, but you know what? You know what really gets the people going? It's another Deep Steel Blue Pill.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans War! Okay, earlier in the show.
Yes.
We heard Joe Mixon talking about C.J. Stroud. Potential to be the best quarterback in the league. Very confident. Mm-hmm. Bobby Slowick, the Texans' offensive coordinator. I think we're all on the same page here, Joe, in that we like him. He is perhaps not as good as he was billed at times last year because he occasionally gets too cute for his own good. Mm-hmm. But we're happy that he is back for this
season.
We are,
yes.
He had this to say when asked about Stephon Diggs' impact on the Texans' offense.
Takes all limits off whatever you feel you need to do to win a game. You know, if we feel like we got to throw the ball deep to win a game, we could do that. If we got to throw it short to win a game, we could do that. If we got to run the ball 40 times to win a game, we feel like we could do that. So it just enables and empowers all of us to really do whatever's necessary that given week to beat the opponent in front of us. And everybody on our offense and really on our team right now is all in on that. And that's what's making this really fun.
Boom. It's like Brad the Cooper. Takes the pill. See everything.
Yeah, limitless.
Great movie. Pretty good movie.
was a good movie.
So, very solid movie.
I said great, and I was like, oh, it's not great. It's a pretty good movie.
Had a TV show spinoff.
I watched that, actually.
With Bradley Cooper in the pilot.
Yeah, he's in the pilot. And then,
And then they're like, you only give me for one day, right?
Well, look, I mean, he's a little expensive, okay? He's a star.
I actually watched the first couple of scenes of A Star Is Born last night on in the background.
Oh, so you watched the good parts.
With Bradley Cooper. Yeah.
The not sad parts.
I always watch up to the part where he brings Lady Gaga on stage, and that moment's amazing. And then right afterwards, he's too hammered, getting back to the hotel room. And the rest of it's like, oh, he's a drunk on the decline, and she is on the rise.
The hardest part is when he pees himself while he falls.
Yes. Oh, God.
That's a tough scene to watch.
He's a pee pants. It gets worse from there.
The Texans offense, limitless.
Limitless offense, baby. I like hearing this because this is what Tom Brady's effect on the Patriots offense was. And C.J. Stroud, I will say this about him. I think at this point in his career, he is working with more than Brady was. That's why Brady was a sixth-round pick. That's why Stroud was the second overall pick. But this is what a great offense can do, and Stephon Diggs is why Bobby Slowick brought that up. He was asked how much they're going to get in 11 personnel. For those who don't know, that means one tight end, one running back. Mm-hmm. How many times they're going to run with three wide receivers, because they didn't do it that much last year, and I think they will do it a lot. But Slowick was very, I think, clear, emphasizing that, hey, certain opponents, certain games, we are going to do what we want, as opposed to doing the same thing every single game. And that's what every offense in the NFL should do and can do when you have a great quarterback, in addition to having unlimited weapons at wide receiver.
And that's why I would look at like the Jets game, the Panthers game, these performances where the offense was just dreadful, and why you would expect the Texans offense to be so much better this year. Is
Ravens because games.
It was CJ. And when Tank went out, the offense plummeted. You don't expect that to happen this year. Like, when Schultz was out, Brevin Jordan gave you a couple splash moments, but wasn't consistently good. You're deep enough, you're talented enough, and you have enough weapons on your offense. All three wide receivers, your tight end, your running back, your quarterback, that frankly, if Bobby Slowick can't game plan something every single week, he's probably the problem.
Yeah, there's games last year where we would go into it on the Friday before the game, and we feel pretty good. C.J. Stroud will only have Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, and Devin Singletary to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
Anyone else, you're like, I don't feel great about how much Hutchinson and Mechie I'm going to be watching on my screen, especially towards the end of the year. I think of the Colts game where it's just like, just throw the ball to Nico Collins every single time.
Yeah.
And
that,
it worked.
That was their only offense that game. Couldn't run the ball. No one else was getting open.
So adding Diggs, Mixon probably helps us a little bit too. Just having a higher baseline of, there probably won't be games where you're just like, throw it to that one guy and that's all we have.
Mm-hmm. Noah Brown, best number four wide receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
Swarm.
Not even close.
Robert Woods, who's probably not going to be on the roster going into the year, the most accomplished number five wide receiver in the NFL.
Swarm.
Swarm, baby. John Mechie, the best guy who was considered to be a first-round pick but ended up getting drafted in the second-round pick and has had really bad luck with injuries, and the Big C being the most upside-heavy sixth wide receiver in the NFL? Swarm.
Probably Swarm.
Yeah. I'll we'll have to do the research.
To be honest,
on that.
There might be more John Mechies out there than
there
we
might
realize.
Be a six receiver somewhere where you're like, you know what? If he just puts it all together.
Yeah, like, remember when he was supposed to be awesome?
Yeah. Is there Josh Gordon anywhere?
It could be that guy, Treylon Burks, on the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what was said about him by Calvin Ridley? Calvin Ridley compared Treylon Burks, who is probably the Titans' number four wide receiver. They got a pretty good group themselves. He compared him to not only A.J. Brown and not only Terrell Owens. He also compared him to Julio Jones. So, like, three to one receiver who's been really good his first couple of years in the NFL, one receiver who's one of the best that we've seen the last 20 years, and in T.O., like a top five receiver all time.
I mean, there's probably three. He probably named three Hall of Famers. Like, what A.J. Brown's doing is probably on pace to be a Hall of Famer.
Titans up!
I was about to say Swarm.
They do Titans up.
Two definite Hall of Famers. Like, tomorrow they can both be in the Hall of Fame. Or one is and
yeah.
one will be. No, wait. Terrell Owens isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
he is. He just didn't go to his whatever they call it.
That's what it was.
Speaking of, T.O., what's his name? What's the agent's name?
Drew Rosenhaus.
He's Nico's agent.
Yes.
I didn't know Drew Rosenhaus was still a thing. He's not as washed as Scott Boras. Congratulations.
Bless Drew Although, did we talked about this on Del Show. Wednesday? Tuesday? I don't know. Holiday week. Did you see the picture of them signing the contract, of Nico Collins signing the contract? You know how every time they sign a contract, they go into some room and they pose with a pen and a piece of paper and they're like, you know, Texan for life or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll send you the room that they're in. Dell and I were not enthused by the room choice.
Not picturesque?
No, it's in the group chat shortly.
Interesting. I would hope that
Dell was able to recognize the room that they're in. That's how.
Oh. Yeah, that's the media workroom. I mean, they could have done a better picture than that.
I was saying it looks like where I took like freshman year algebra one.
Yeah.
Like it looks
or like
it,
where maybe like the communal TV is in your dorm. Like
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's where it is.
Yeah.
I also got to say these Rosenhaus sports T-shirts they're not making me buy into Drew Rosenhaus as a brand. No. I need my agents to look like they're Ari Gold.
It makes me listen. Not as washed as Scott Boras. No one's as washed as Scott Boras.
He's real washed. Maybe it's Drew Rosenhaus.
Little wash.
Have we ever heard? This is like, when's the last time we heard from Drew Rosenhaus before this deal? No idea.
Firing Johnny Manziel. Well,
that's a smart decision.
That's a lot. Honestly,
that's a decade ago.
He has been there really has been no one close to David Mulugeta as far as NFL
he's
agents.
Become like the big name.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would imagine Drew Rosenhaus is probably towards the top as far as NFL agents go. Joe George, Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got garbage time coming up where the number 34 got a new meaning, not just for Houston yesterday, and an interesting feature for NCAA football 2025 that may actually have gotten me into buying the game. You'll find out all about that and more as we wrap things up. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Friday, free stuff on a Friday. Guys, if you would like to go and see The Acolyte, the new Star Wars show on Disney Plus, they're doing an advanced screening Monday, June 3rd. At Cinemark Webster, the show debuts June 4th. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. You get two seats to that advanced screening. So there you go. Joe, I know you're excited about that show.
Yeah, I'm excited because it's nice that there's going to be a Star... I like Star Wars stories that don't involve the Skywalkers early on. I want to see them continue to grow the universe without them.
I agree. I have always wanted them to do a series based off of the Knights of the Old Republic video game. That is the best Star Wars game that ever has been made and probably ever will be made now that EA has basically bought the exclusive rights to making Star Wars video games. Not to bore everyone. It's just a really good game.
What's wrong? If we want video games, we get video games. Speaking of video games.
It's time for garbage time. Well, I like trash.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
It starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Shout out to Sean Mays, who's doing 8 things at once. Hey. I saw some funny jokes yesterday. Look, okay. I'm going to try to not get political. All I will say is yesterday was a big day for the number 34, and it had nothing to do with Hakeem Olajuwon, nothing to do with Earl Campbell, and nothing to do with Nolan Ryan. But did you know that the number 34 is one more than the amount of consensus All-Americans Texas A&M has ever had?
Mm.
And did you know that not even Jose Abreu went 0 for 34?
I did not know.
Jokes, everybody.
Huh.
Jokes.
Huh.
Huh. Indeed.
Interesting.
Interesting. Why haven't the Texans retired number 34 yet? Pander a little more to Houston's past. Come on.
Maybe they should give should they change someone's number to 34 so they can retire it?
Maybe.
Who should they give it to? Will Anderson? People wear weird numbers now.
34 is a weird one. You got to be a running back. I feel like now, I don't think you want to be retiring Joe Mixon's number.
Joe Mixon's not going to play.
Davian Pierce has it. Yeah. The interesting thing about that, I feel like the Texans would get a cease and desist if they retired number 34 from the Titans. I feel like they would. They're like, we know what you're doing. Have a Earl Campbell day.
Yeah.
NCAA football 2025 has some very interesting features. I'm getting closer and closer, Joe, to buying a new console so I can get this game. I guess those consoles are now old at this point. But they are really, really, really getting specific for things as simple as what fans are going to look like in the stands. Penn State's going to have the whiteout. Tennessee's going to have the checkerboard. Boise State's going to have the stripe out. And Texas A&M is going to have the red, white, and blue crowd after 9/11 in the game.
Huh.
It's a very weird feature to highlight, but I saw that on Texas A&M Aggies Reddit.
So it would just be after, like, the second game of the season?
I guess so.
Or before the second game of the season?
Interesting.
It seems like they're putting so much detail into this game.
They are. Rocky Top's going to be in there.
Neck's going to be in the game, minus the S-That Tiger D.
Yeah, the clean, the edited version. Yeah.
We got to find a way
and
to
now they have it. Now they have 9/11 in the game.
Like, they're going to do Mr. Brightside for the
Yeah, they
house.
Have the songs in there. They have certain songs.
They're going to do Jump Around.
They were not able to get Metallica's Inner Sandman for West Virginia. Oh. Believe it or not, they were not able to get a Metallica song.
Is that Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, okay.
And then doesn't someone else do it too? Clemson?
Well, South Carolina does Sandstorm, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, Sandstorm's a fun one.
That is a fun
one. I'm so excited for the game. Like, I've been watching some of the gameplay that's been coming out. It looks so
I'm trying to stay away because this used to be like my favorite day of the summer since it was so. This marked the return of football.
Here's the thing, Paul. Okay, the dynasties, the online dynasties, 32 teams.
Okay? Yeah, I get
so
that.
We
but
can get 29 other friends.
I feel like features are going to be missing, and I feel like the gameplay is not going to be that good.
No NIL, no targeting. There's 120 customizable teams, so you can make your own team, your own conferences.
You used to be able to make your own logo, and then they got rid of that.
That's back, Paul.
Yeah, they have Team Builder.
Team Builder's back.
Yeah, Team Builder. And there's 120 combinations you can make.
Can I make my own logo?
I believe so. I think you would download a logo.
Yeah, I think you'd download it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, then I'm out. Listen, I'm going to look for any excuse to not get the game.
No. Come on.
Well, if you get this game, guess what, guys? Huge news in the college football transfer portal. Patrick Mahomes' half-brother is coming to Rice, baby. Graham Walker transferring from Brown to Rice to play football.
Smart kid. Wow.
Okay. I mean, the next Patrick Mahomes in our backyard.
Hey, Bayou Bucket.
Do you know what position he plays?
Bayou Bucket's been close these days, you know? Cougs and the Owls.
Rice has the Bayou Bucket.
They have it. Last year. Right. They won it last year, and now they have a Mahomes on the roster.
Mm. Wow. Good luck. Good luck, Cougs.
Watch out.
Will it be better than when they had an Armstrong on their roster? Lance's kid player.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
They also had McCaffrey.
During his...
Pour one out. The greatest online highlight tape ever.
Oh, no, you're thinking of McGuffey.
Oh, you're right. Sam McGuffey. They had him,
McCaffrey's brother. Yes, they also had McGuffey.
Hey, Luke went in, the second round? He was the last pick of the second round this year?
Did he go in the second round?
Yeah.
Let's go Rice!
I think Luke was the last pick in the second round by the Commies.
Hoot, hoot.
The Commies.
One last story.
Uh-oh.
This is sad. The cartel owns 15% of Mexican tortillerias. So,
is is that like tortilla makers?
We're taking everything. Yeah, the tortilla, big tortilla is going up.
Big tortilla?
Tortilla's going to be more.
The price of the brick's gone up.
Yeah.
I mean, the cartel owns everything.
The cartel really owns everything.
Honestly.
Avocados.
Honestly.
Bananas.
Cartel. Tortillas. Cartel, what took you so long?
I know. Right? Like, I feel like you're like,
let me take a second right now to call out the cartel.
Maybe there was like a tortilla cartel, and then they finally just lost the battle.
A bigger, badder cartel?
Yeah. And we just didn't know much about them.
Must be it.
Is this the avocado cartel that's now into the tortilla cartel?
No, this is the cartel. Oh. With the stuff. With everything.
Well, that's now also the avocado cartel.
They've taken our tortillas too. That's going to wrap up today's show for Sean Mapes. For Joe George. I am merely Paul Gallant. Zolog, very well. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!